The cultural stories from HN this weekend coalesced around a few themes that I think are genuinely worth exploring. The physical media ownership debate, the Robin Williams response to AI slop, Marfa Public Radio's sleep podcast, the music as chore piece, and Jim Parkinson's career retrospective. These might look like soft stories, but the HN threads on them reveal something about how the technical community is processing the current moment.
Start with physical media, because the numbers are remarkable. 447 points, 306 comments. The piece from Dervis Dot makes the case that physical ownership of media, Blu-rays, vinyl, CDs, physical books, is not nostalgia but rational risk management. The argument is that digital licenses are revocable, services shut down, DRM can become undecodable when the authentication servers go dark, and the content you paid for can be retroactively modified or removed. Physical media doesn't have those failure modes.
The HN thread goes deep on specific cases where this has happened to real people. The shutdown of older digital storefronts, the removal of licensed content from streaming platforms without notice, the differences between what buying a digital movie means versus what consumers believe it means. Several commenters noted that their digital purchases of films from a decade ago are now either unavailable or require an additional purchase on a different platform. The legal analysis in the thread is sharp. In most jurisdictions, you purchased a license to access content under conditions the distributor controls, not an ownership stake in the content itself.
What I find interesting is how this discussion connects to the gaming preservation stories we discussed earlier. OpenRA and Decomp Academy exist precisely because the institutions holding the rights to classic games aren't maintaining them. The physical media essay is arguing that individual consumers should draw the same lesson that game preservationists drew. The entity that controls your access to something you value has different incentives than you do. And history suggests those incentives eventually diverge.
The Robin Williams piece has a different emotional register. The essay at jayakunzo.com uses a scene from Good Will Hunting, specifically Williams's character's repeated "your move, chief," as a frame for thinking about authenticity in a world saturated with AI-generated content. The argument is that the correct response to a flood of adequate, generic, algorithmically optimized content is not to compete on the same terms, but to go further into specificity and genuine human perspective.
255 points, 144 comments. The HN thread on this one is itself a demonstration of the point. It's full of specific, personal, human observations about what makes content feel real. People sharing particular pieces of writing or music or conversation that cut through precisely because they're idiosyncratic and particular in ways that generative systems, optimizing for broad appeal, would sand away.
Marfa Public Radio's sleep podcast hit 258 points, which is genuinely impressive for a niche audio project. Marfa, Texas is a small arts community in the Chihuahuan Desert, and the station has been doing public radio programming that reflects that specific place and that specific community for years. The sleep podcast uses ambient recordings from the region, wind, occasional distant sounds, the quality of silence at high elevation rather than produced sleep soundscapes. The HN discussion is partly about why it works better than commercial sleep audio products. And the answer seems to be the same as the Robin Williams essay, specificity and genuine provenance.
The Music as Chore essay from 2022 that resurfaced this weekend argues that treating creative practice with the same unglamorous discipline as any other skill, not waiting for inspiration, showing up and doing the work regardless of how it feels, is actually how creative mastery develops rather than creative spontaneity. 48 points, 16 comments. The HN thread adds a software development parallel that I think is accurate. Most good programming happens in the same unglamorous, disciplined, incremental way.
Jim Parkinson's career retrospective on Typographica is a quiet tribute to a lettering artist who died in 2025. He designed logos and letter forms for properties including Hallmark and various neon sign applications. Only 7 points, no comments. It came in late, but it's the kind of piece that documents craft knowledge that otherwise disappears with a practitioner. Typography is one of those domains where the gap between knowing what good looks like and knowing how to make it is enormous, and Parkinson spent decades in that gap.
There's also the Stray J debugging story, which at 21 points and 10 comments is small but deeply relatable to anyone who has spent an evening chasing a character in Coding Bug. The post is a careful account of how a single mishandled character in a data pipeline propagated through several systems before causing a visible failure, and how the author traced it back. It's a genre of writing, the debugging postmortem, that HN has always loved because it's genuinely educational and honest about how confusion feels in real time.
Now, I want to take the second half of this segment to do something we try to do regularly, examine where we might be overconfident. And I want to focus on the physical media conclusion, because the HN discussion treated it as essentially settled. Physical is better, digital licenses are precarious, physical ownership is rational risk management. I believe that argument, and I've made it. But let me steelman the other side seriously.
Go ahead. I think there are real weaknesses in the physical media case that got underplayed in the discussion.
The strongest counterargument is about physical media's own failure modes, which the essay treated too lightly. Physical media degrades. Optical disc rot is a documented phenomenon. Discs manufactured in the 1980s and 1990s are failing at rates the industry did not initially predict. Vinyl is durable, but the playback equipment is increasingly specialized and expensive to maintain. Magnetic tape formats have an even more urgent timeline. The essay frames digital license revocation as the primary risk, but if you have a physical disc and no working player, or if the disc itself has degraded, your ownership is just as functionally worthless.
And the access asymmetry cuts both ways. A physical Blu-ray is only accessible through specific hardware that requires its own maintenance chain. A digital library, even with its license risks, is accessible from any compatible device instantly. For someone with a deteriorating home storage situation, a flood, a fire, a cross-country move, physical media is more vulnerable to total loss than a digital library that's distributed across multiple servers.
What I'm not saying is that digital licenses are fine. The specific failure modes the essay documents are real. People did lose access to purchased content when services shut down. What I am saying is that physical is categorically safer, maybe too clean a conclusion. The actual risk profile depends on storage conditions, access infrastructure, the specific media format, and the specific digital platform's track record.
Here's what to watch for if this analysis is wrong. The narrative around physical media preservation will start to show specific, high-profile cases where physical collections couldn't be accessed due to hardware failure or media degradation at scale. Not one person's DVD collection, but institutional archives. The Library of Congress has been documenting this for years with audiovisual materials. If those failure rates start appearing in mainstream technical discourse the way digital license revocation currently does, the confidence in the physical media position should update accordingly.
And conversely, if we see more cases of digital platforms offering genuine ownership guarantees, blockchain-based provenance, perpetual local download rights, legally enforceable license terms, then some of the digital risk calculus changes too. The current situation, where buy means license, is a legal and business choice, not a technical necessity.